We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun,
you want to see all of the excitement, this is the place, and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day, come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
You need more tambourine in your life, Dusty, and also that little ding, that little that triangle, right? Yeah. Is that little triangle? Do you have a triangle? Do you carry one around? Just ring it every once in a while? Do you do it for dinner or anything like that? Come and get it. Do people still do that? Mac, does your mom do that for you? Does she ring the triangle for dinner or ring the dinner bell for you? Come eat meatloaf, nice. Mac. Did you eat your Applebee's leftovers yet?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Night of, yeah.
Yeah, brioche.
Yeah, brush it up, yeah.
I will say this. This is a great call to hear.
Two outs in the bottom of the ninth. First pitch to David Fry. Popped up right side. Adam Frazier's underneath it. He makes the catch, and the ball game is over. The Royals beat the Guardians 6-1. It's a win that was worth the wait. The Royals have won three straight over the Guardians and move into a first-place tie in the American League Central.
Chalk that up under things you love to hear. Jake Eisenberg, you heard that yesterday or last night.
Was there any crowd at that game late last night?
That's what's even better is all those people that waited in a rain delay to see the Royals tie their own team
for
first place.
Would you have stayed for that if you're in Cleveland last night? There's not a chance, right?
Two hours and 15-minute rain delay?
What do you do during that rain delay? You sit there and get plowed? I mean, like, are they serving beer that entire time? I would imagine they are, right? Because it goes to the seventh or eighth inning. Like, I mean, what is there to do in that at that point in time? Mm-hmm. God.
This comes from a former Royals reporter and guy who covered them, Rustin Dodd. The Kansas City Royals, 75-58 and first place. They need to finish 17-12 in their last 29 games to match the 1903 Giants for the biggest year-over-year improvement, plus 36 in MLB history. No team has ever gone from 100 losses to a division championship.
That's good. Yeah, let's go. Again, last year means nothing. Absolutely nothing. I wonder if Rustin's rooting for the Royals to win.
I would think so.
I would hope so.
I mean, you put time and effort into a team. I couldn't imagine why you wouldn't. But yeah, the Royals win. And speaking of winning.
Yeah, winning.
Yesterday, two guys won pretty big off the field as Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
They became big-time millionaires yesterday as the New Heights podcast deal for Amazon for over $100 million. One, congratulations. Two, it was, I believe, last year, the number one sports podcast in the country.
Has to be. Like, what else would have been better, right?
And now those guys, Jason obviously retired. This is where most of his focus will go, as well as like pop-up appearances on probably shows.
What's he on, ESPN?
Yeah, I think something like that. And Travis, going for a three-peat, still, I believe, last I checked, in a very serious relationship with the number one icon of pop music in the entire world,
right?
And Taylor Swift. So things are going very well.
Their beer is dropping today. The Landing has it. I got a text. They're going to start selling their beer, garage beer or something. It's called
garage beer. Yeah,
that's what it is. $4.77 a can. They're saying at the Landing. Oh, okay. So you go get some of that beer that the Kelces are brewing.
There you go. And then you think to yourself, okay, these guys could probably do this for a while. And their newest episode of their third season drops today. It'll have Adam Sandler join the show
and
talk about how he and Travis became basically best friends. Shows you generational gap. You can still be good friends. 47, 37, 26. And
I think age is such a
24,
a 23? A scam. You know, well, I don't know. Applebee's put you at 21.
Sure.
The age thing to me is such, it's how you feel and it's how you act. I never felt over the age of 7. Like, I mean, my parents my entire life are like, are you ever going to grow up? I'm like, no, why?
Probably
why do I want to? Like, being an adult sucks. So you have to act and feel young all the time. And obviously Adam Sandler is right into that category. Cause we were talking about it before the show. You're like, how old is Adam Sandler? I'm like, I don't know, probably right around my age. And Dusty's like, no, he's 10 years old. Like Adam Sandler's pushing 60.
He's 50, he'll be 58 in September.
That dude is pushing 60.
It's easy to live when you don't have any stress.
It is. It's good. That's why you got to stay positive. Like the people who are trying to find reasons why something may not happen in sports instead of just embracing the moment, you're killing your mental health, man. Enjoy the positive stuff. Enjoy being happy. Enjoy loving what's going on right now and focus on that. And don't worry about the other stuff because the other stuff is nonsense. It's noise. It may never happen. Like, enjoy the moment that we're living in right now. The thing about the podcast deal, Dusty, first of all, you and I probably need to get back to the table and negotiate a little bit better.
Yeah.
But when you just take Travis's portion, right, his 50 mil, that's more than three times that he's going to make playing football this year.
Yeah, that's why I think when you look at this sort of thing that happens, and especially where his career is, right? Like he's in his mid-30s. It's like kind of like the forest age for football.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think, you know, is this the last ride? I know he's got this year and next at least. Is this the last ride for Travis Kelce, the Chiefs? Making a ton of money off the field. We already saw the tweet, I think, earlier this week that he's going to have like over 127 ads roll throughout the entire NFL season or something like that with just him on it.
Like there's 127 different products, first of all?
Or just 127 different ads of him. So there could be like 9 or 10 different ones that are you smarter than an athlete? Or there could be 9 or 10 different State Farm ads that he's in or whatever that may be, but the equivalent's to over 100, the most of any football player in current times or past times. The guy is an icon. The guy is living well. The guy's going for a three-peat. And I've had conversations with other people that...
Is he the biggest icon in sports right now, Travis Kelce?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, he's bigger than LeBron.
Who, by the way... Nationally, maybe not internationally, but nationally.
Nationally. But with the
he's probably creeping internationally.
Yeah, he's creeping because of Taylor Swift, right? And he's showing up at concerts in other countries, and people know who he is. The LeBron thing, too, where he's not allowing his son to call him dad.
Mm. So weird.
It's so bizarre. But
call me King James.
Yeah. King.
King, what's for dinner?
Yeah.
My servant.
Yes. My son, you will eat what we tell you to eat. This isn't Leewood, though, right? But, like, is he the biggest icon in sports right now.
Currently.
You know? He's bigger than LeBron. He's bigger than Steph. I mean, like, as great as that NBA talent was during the Olympics and how big a stars they became in that two-week stint in Paris, everybody knows Travis Kelce. Even non-sports fans know Travis Kelce. How jealous is LeBron?
Not only that, but Kelce with that money now has a horse called Swift Delivery.
Yeah, he bought a horse yesterday. Yeah,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. That's how you know you've reached elite status.
Yes.
When you're like, I got nothing else to buy. Give me a horse.
Somebody says, is it a clickbait or is it a rumor that Travis Kelce is investing in a horse racing team as well? I don't know about the team. I just know that he bought a horse from a well-known trainer and it's called Swift Delivery.
Right. And I hope that horse is roaming Leewood. Like, I hope we see him ride that horse to, like, Trader Joe's.
They won a
They spotted him years ago or last year.
If they win a three-peat, the hell with him showing up on the top of a bus drinking Don Julio. I want to see him on a damn horse.
Horse. Oh, my God.
Taylor Swift on the back. Yeah. Here comes the white knight.
Yeah. Dressed like a knight on a white horse with the, you know.
With the lady.
Yeah, with Taylor. I mean, it's great, man.
That would break the world. That would absolutely break the world.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce shows up to a Chiefs parade after winning a third straight title on horseback with Taylor Swift.
Well, you've got to do something to make it better, right? Because the Chiefs parade is going to be off the heels of a Royals parade, and you know that's going to be an unbelievable scene. And then so the Chiefs are going to go, all right, anything you can do, we can do better. And they're going to be looking at the Royals parade and seeing what they did. And they're going to go, okay, we need to top this, right? Because I don't know that there's been a parade moment that has topped Johnny Gomes, right? Like nothing has been better parade-wise than the Johnny Gomes speech at Union Station when the Royals won that championship. Right. Now, maybe the guy falling out of the tree at the parade or, you know, something of that nature, you know, for the Chiefs is pretty special. But the Johnny Gomes moment is the premier number one parade moment that we've seen. And so the Royals win a championship. They have a parade. Then the Chiefs are going to look at that and go, all right, what can we do that's different? What can we do that's better than that, right?
Right.
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a f-
goddamn fool.
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
See how they bleep themselves, Mac?
We've got a couple of coaches on the text line. LeBron has 160 million IG followers. Kelsey has six. Kelsey is big, but no LeBron yet.
Let me just address that one for a second. Mm-hmm. Walk around, go pick a city in America, ask people if they know LeBron or Travis Kelce. They probably know both, but I think a lot of people know Travis Kelce.
The fact that you have to put those two names together should answer your question. Also, he didn't buy the horse, he bought a steak in the horse.
I bought a steak in a cow once and it was delicious.
I bought a steak at Costco. Damn, ribeye. My world.
Steak sale going on at Hy-Vee this weekend, by the way. Mm. Oh, yeah. Big steak sale starting Friday. The four-day steak sale at Hy-Vee. Okay. Go in and get your steaks for Labor Day weekend. I'll be out at the Hy-Vee in Shawnee coming up on Thursday from 11 to 1. Steak dinner sale, $10 for your steak dinner. You get the steak, you get the vegetable, you get the potato. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, four-day steak sale, Hy-Vee. Be there or don't get a steak.
What's that steak coming up on the other side for the Royals today? Go. Just keep your foot on the throat. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for sports radio.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
The Kansas City Royals are now tied for first place in the American League Central after winning their third consecutive game against Cleveland. At one point, the Guardians had a 9-game lead in the division. That from Jeff Passan.
I think the Royals trailed by 10 at one point in the division.
Either way, you love to see
it. Hate to be that guy. The Royals were down 10 in the division this year.
Hate to be that guy, Dustman. Let me tell you something here. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports. This is Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, we talked to Binkley earlier.
We did. 913-586-7965. You missed it. We had our first Binkley season. He'll join us every Wednesday moving forward because it is football season. Tomorrow night, the Tigers and the Jayhawks will play. Saturday, K-State will play, as well as a big one on Saturday, which is Georgia versus Clemson at 11, 1 versus 14.
Big game.
Big. Huge.
Not as big as my Ohio State Buckeyes taking on Akron.
Home of LeBron, the biggest athlete in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Quit saying tied with Cleveland. They own the tiebreaker, the lead in the Central.
Oh, jeez. Did somebody text that in?
Mm-hmm, just now. Just for you, 620, because I'm a man of positivity and a man of the text line, I will quit saying tied with Cleveland. I will ignore, and I will just say in first place.
The Royals are in first place.
There you go.
Right.
I'm a man of the people.
They were 10 games back on Tuesday, June 25th.
Now the Royals are in first place. The Twins are 2.5 games behind them. They have a 6.5 game lead over Boston, the next closest wildcard team. So you can start to gear up, start to budget for that playoff gear. Bob's already got his 2015 The Central Is Ours t-shirt.
The Central Is Ours t-shirt broken out this morning, man. You get into first place, the t-shirt gets broken out, baby.
I have my 1970s Royals shirt that we got from the giveaway this year.
What's the oldest t-shirt you're rocking? I saw a guy at the J the other day wearing a 1992 triathlon t-shirt.
That's awesome.
What is the oldest t-shirt you have? The oldest one I have is from 1995. It was my first quote-unquote party at KU. I kept the t-shirt from that. I don't wear that. Cool. I don't wear it. It's being turned into a quilt, you know, allegedly, is what I'm told, the t-shirt quilt. But what's the oldest t-shirt you're rocking? Because this one right now, this is from this is 2015. I got 2014 gear, so that's 10 years old. Doesn't feel that old, though. It really doesn't. Like, God, 10 years it's been, and that stuff still looks like new.
I've got a couple of KU sweatshirts that I got from my dad that are from like 1984, 1986.
You still rocking them?
Mm-hmm. Nice. I have another sweatshirt that I got at a thrift store that's from like 1970. I got for an ugly Christmas sweater party. I'll wear it at least one point.
But you didn't get that as an original.
Yeah. But it's from like the 70s. Because like the tag says like, so it said something like the tag says like 1907, and then I can't see the last number. That's how old it is.
So what about you, Mac? You got anything from the 90s?
Yeah, I got some old Chief stuff for sure.
You've seen them already. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. From the 90s.
Well, I mean, like old for him is like when we were, you know, yesterday. Right. So,
but speaking of yesterday, the Royals moving to first place, beating Cleveland for the third straight time in a series of four games. And it's just, it's one of those things where when the situations get massive and they get to the point where you can't make mistakes, the Royals haven't made a bunch of mistakes in this series. I know Bobby had a play yesterday where he got picked off, and you know, you can nitpick all you want.
Somebody on the text line is complaining that Bobby needs to start running the bases better.
Good.
It was probably the same guy sitting behind me at the game on Sunday who's screaming, "Bobby's due."
Mm.
Man's hitting 350.
Well, the entire league has been seeing a lot of Bobby's due, as he is still hitting in the 340s and a lot of other things as well in categories. So I'm just fine with whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
But today you send Michael Wach out there, who's coming off a streak of quality starts. He's been a great addition to this team, and this is where this team has literally done most things right the entire year, which is why they are where they are, which is first place. And the thing that's great about it is the offseason, they went and got pitching. Lugo, Waka, all those guys. They went and, you know, they signed Bobby Witt Jr. They gave your team a reason to believe that there was a change coming. They started off very good, had a bunch of quality starts in a row. Then you go from that to the trade deadline where they get Paul DeJong, they get Hunter Harvey, they get Lucas Irsig, they get these guys that can help their team, and they've won the trade market as well as Michael Lorenzen, who had his first kind of downside yesterday as the hamstring injury. We'll see with more to come about what happens with that. But they did well preseason with additions to the team. They've done well with the trade deadline. I think that they've been the best team on the trade deadline with Paul DeJong and Lucas Irsig. Those are two valuable players that have done exceptionally well at their positions and continue to help this team win. And now they sit at first place. And the best part about it is everyone now is like, okay, what's next? Have they arrived and moved forward? Or is this one of those things where it's going to be the teeter-totter that we've seen in the AL Central, where 1 week or 1 month, it's, or not month, but like 1 week it's the Twins, then the next week it's the Guardians, then it's the Royals. Is this now the time where the Royals have put up to shut up and they move forward, and the arrival of the revival has finally caught here for the Kansas City Royals?
Well, I think they've arrived, and the reason I say that is because you can just look at the way that they're playing right now. They're playing inspired baseball. They're playing great baseball. They're playing fun baseball, and they're having fun doing it. You look at that Cleveland team, and I've been telling you this now for about a week, guys. Mm-hmm. This Cleveland team is not having fun. They look like they're going to the office every day, right? As you guys drive into work this morning and you're going to the job that you hate and you're going to work for that boss that you don't like and you're going to work for a job that's not paying you enough money and you know you got to go home at night and you got running around and all that kind of stuff to do. That's the way Cleveland's going into this. And when you play professional baseball or whatever sport it is professionally, you need to be excited. You need to have fun. You need to live life every single day and enjoy those moments. And if you're not, it's going to show on the field. Cleveland is playing like the guy who's driving to his office every morning, hates life, hates his job, but he knows he has to do it because that's what's best for his family. You're never going to be successful playing professional sports that way, because Cleveland's driving to the ballpark now. It's 9:30 in Cleveland, right? Guys are getting up. They're getting ready to go to the ballpark. They probably don't have batting practice today because it was a late night last night, so they're going to get there a little bit later. But those cats are driving to the ballpark in Cleveland today going, God, we had the 2.5-hour rain delay. Then we got our teeth kicked in and the bullpen dominated us yesterday. We're not playing good baseball. My God, it's Goliath over there and we're David, right? Mm-hmm. And we got to find a way to slay Goliath. And David's not winning this one. I promise you that. Goliath is going to keep moving forward. And you know what they're going to tell Dave? They're going to say, Goliath down. You're looking tired, because that's what Cleveland is right now. That is a tired, deflated, defeated baseball team. Meanwhile, the Royals are going, you know what we're doing right now? We're winning. We're having fun. This is great. I can't wait to get to the ballpark. And when you win, and when you have success, you can't wait to get to the work the next day. You got that big sale at the office. You're like, yeah, let me go in tomorrow and get another one. And that's where the Royals are right now. They're playing inspired baseball. They're playing fun baseball. They're playing winning baseball. And Cleveland is the antithesis of what the Royals are right now.
The Yankees also lost yesterday, which is crazy about how things can dramatically change in the viewing of scoreboard watching. Because I found myself last night, with the rain delay, watching the quad box on MLB Network, mm-hmm. and watching how Aaron Judge grounded out into a double play with the bases loaded, and then the Yankees had two on in the top of the ninth and couldn't score and lost that game. But now you're three games behind the Yankees for the best record in baseball. You're two games behind the Baltimore Orioles for the second best record in the American League, not baseball, second best record in the American League. Royals tied with the third best record in baseball. Right now, if you win your division, which you're in first place, you would have a bye in the first round, which means you get a home playoff game. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to look forward to, because you're also looking at what Cleveland does, but you don't have to because you're playing them. What Minnesota does first, right? They lose again to Atlanta. That's back-to-back games they've lost to Atlanta. Atlanta going for a sweep today. And if that can happen, you're then getting more separation as you are 2.5 games above Minnesota in the division. You and Cleveland are both at the top. And then you look at the other teams in the division. The Yankees are 78 and 55, and the Royals are 75 and 58. To say you couldn't be the number one seed in the AL, that's where expectations can go to as they have climbed throughout the season, because you've gone through, let's just be competitive until the Chiefs start playing baseball and or playing football in training camp. Okay, well, surpass that by a million. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's maybe have a chance to be a wild card team. You've surpassed that just recently by getting back in the top of the division. Let's see if they can win their division. That's also an expectation that's not as high as you might think. And now the next expectation, Bob, is let's get the number one seed in the AL and let's hold home field advantage in the American League and let everything run through Kauffman Stadium. Because I'm not going to lie to you, when I was relaxing yesterday, I watched a 7-minute video of Kauffman Stadium pops.
I saw that yesterday.
And I did not turn it off. Yeah. And I just kept watching and watching and watching. I'm just going to myself, I'm going, damn, I'm so excited for a hoodie that says playoff baseball, cold weather, chili in the crock pot. Oh, is that the Royals on a Saturday at 2:30 and then the Chiefs at 7:15 on a Sunday? Oh, yeah. And then Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, where you've heard all of that action for 72 consecutive hours. You damn right I'm ready for all this.
And I'll tell you this right now. Yesterday was a big turn for me. I'm not scoreboard watching anymore. Okay. I'm not paying attention to what anybody else does because we're in first place and that's all that matters. You win the division, the rest is going to take care of itself. We now don't have to worry about, oh, is Boston going to catch us? Oh, Seattle got hot. What about Houston? All this stuff that we were worried about a week ago is now off the table. It actually has taken some stress out of my life, quite honestly, because I'm not trying to flip around and find every game to see what's going on. Right. Oh, hey, I know I'm speaking from the top of the mountain right now, Dusty. Mm. We're in first place and you're not. I don't have to worry about the rest of you. Mm. Okay? I don't have to worry about you guys. I got to worry about just continuing to do what we've been doing, and that's playing inspired winning baseball.
This is kind of a funny text. Yeah, I'll go tell Bobby he needs to run bases better, and I'll go tell my wife she needs to cook better.
I have those conversations with my wife. They're not so bad. You got to temper them down a little bit, and you say, honey, here's what I think you should do better.
You just can't be aggressive, and you got to use proper verbiage.
You can't walk in there and go, your cooking sucks! Okay. It doesn't work that way. I've tried.
Probably another reason why the Royals are in first place is, here's one stat every MLB leads in the league, according to Brooks Gate on X. The Royals lead every team in best batting average with runners in scoring position.
That sums up your season right there. That's like the most important stat that you could tell me right now. How do you hit with runners in scoring position? Now, we're the best in baseball. Okay, you're in first place. 19-3 against the White Sox in Cleveland. I mean, what more do you need, right? People can tell you about all the launch angles they want and the BABIPs and the wars and nonsensical nonsense. The Royals lead baseball in batting average with runners in scoring position. That means you get hits when it matters most. That's awesome. Love it.
When you score runs that are in position to score, you will be more successful than not.
Yeah.
It's like my dad told us when he coached us in Little League basketball. If you have more points in the paint at high percentage, you're probably going to win the game, which is not an obvious thing to say, but it's like, if our percentage in the paint is higher than the team, or if we win on the offensive glass, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, we're probably going to win. Okay. If you're knocking runners in when it matters, you're going to win more often than not. And that's just what they do. Freddie Fermin has been a fantastic find for the Royals to play. Not every day, you know, but to be that guy that can play, you know, 4 out of 6 games, but every time he plays, he seems to come up with a hit or an RBI where it's like, there's Freddie Fermin again. Mm-hmm. Paul DeJong being an addition to this team, playing very good third base and hitting clutch home runs. He's got 23 on the year. People forget that.
Every move that the Royals made since the end of last season has been a successful move. I mean, you can argue Hunter Harvey right now if you really wanted to, but I'm not worried about him. Every move that they made has paid off in a big way. Every player has achieved greatness. Every player is going out there and contributing to this team winning. I mean, it really was a remarkable offseason by this organization, a remarkable trade deadline, you know, by this organization. And it starts to give you the vibe of watching the Chiefs play football. You know they're going to win. It's just a matter of how they're going to do it and how they're going to crush the ever-living daylights of the opposition and make the opposition wilt like the witch in the Wizard of Oz. Like the Royals are throwing water on everybody and they're melting in front of them. And everybody right now is just watching and waiting for that moment. And you can sense it coming. You can feel it. All right, here we go. Here comes Patrick Mahomes. It's 3 minutes to go. They've got the ball at the 30. Travis on the right side. Tyreek on the left side. Travis on the right side. Field goal. Game winner. And that's the way it's for the Royals right now. You know it's going to come. Seventh inning. Base hit to lead things off. Game over. Right there. You know what's going to happen.
The other thing that's starting to be a little bit more noticeable to me is the Royals are annoying people.
Yes, they are.
They annoyed the Arizona Diamondbacks. We saw that. It looks as if they've annoyed the Cleveland Guardians, right? They walked Bobby Witt Jr. the other night with the load the bases.
And then they hit him yesterday.
And then last night they hit him. They were booing him when he came up to bat with the 12 fans that stayed throughout the rain delay. I don't blame the people that left. I'm not saying that, but there wasn't a whole lot of people.
Oh, I'd get out of there too, man. School night. Let's go.
You heard the boos, and then they were booing Bobby for getting hit because they thought he leaned into the pitch. If you go back and look at the pitch, it comes up and in at 92 and it hits him damn near in the hand.
Yeah.
And
I can hit like his forearm and hit his hand. And
we can ask Royals manager Matt Cotrero will join us in about 25 minutes, you know, how the kid is feeling.
We should ask you, who you hitting today?
Yeah. And at times you have to kind of think to yourself like, okay, where's that fine line of frustration? Because you know, when you would, I don't know if you guys had this way with your friends, but like there'd be times you play like pickup basketball and, you know, every once in a while, maybe it was you or your buddy that was getting to a hot streak and you were tired of it. You'd kind of, you know, get a little bit more aggressive with like the defense or
who
maybe
didn't do that, right?
Right. Yeah. If you were playing wiffle ball and the guy kept hitting home runs up, you maybe throw the ball a little bit harder and it's like, hey, cool.
A lot of us was football stuff.
Right. You know? Or you got hit a little harder or, you know, there was whatever it was, like a little message. Well, again, I don't advocate for
kickball too. He used to peg people harder with the ball.
Fair enough. Or oops, I didn't mean to hit you in the face.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But that was kind of to me one of those like, hey, chill out type of moments from Cleveland. The Royals, and we'll see what happens today before the game. This is a divisional rivalry. Now, if I'm the umpire, possibly, I'm looking at the game before it starts and going, hey guys, no nonsense. Whatever you do at this point is on you. The severity of it will judge. It could be an ejection. It could be a warning or a double warning. But hey, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You're on your own pace. If I'm still the Royals, I'm flirting with the, hey, we're not, because again, I'm not saying they need to go into their level and stoop down to there because that's maybe what Cleveland wants is to get into your head. But I'm also one of those people where I'm like, what I tease about is don't be a team that now that you're at the top, it's, oh my God, we're here. Act like this was where you wanted to be and now put your foot on the throat knowing that they're trying to hit your best player on purpose and try to spark a little bit of, okay, they've beaten us 7 times. We've only beaten them twice. How can we get them down to our level? Let's throw at them and see if they'll play our, you don't necessarily have to do that, but either go out there and keep your foot on the throat and just beat the living piss out of them, which I think is where Matt Cotrero comes into play with this, which is where he can get creative and be like, you know what? We're going to send a double steal in the 7th when we're up 7-1.
Yeah, do something like that. That'll
something
get them
cheeky
even more.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, or maybe it's like, you know what? We're not going to, you know, take this guy out. We're going to be up 8-1. We're going to bring Lucas Irsig in the 9th. We're going to host 3 batters down. Pump our fist, 2 middle fingers, and get out of Cleveland. Say it's a 4-game sweep, Daddy ain't done.
Yeah, that's a way to approach it. But you know, I kind of come from the old George Brett school of things. Fights are good, and when you fight another team, as George was talking about the other day with Moose and Haas on their podcast, George is like, I remember you guys were fighting every day, and I'm like, well, I don't know that they were fighting every day. It seemed like it a little bit in 14 and 15,
right?
But that's how you know you've arrived on the scene when teams get to that point where you're under their skin, they're throwing at you, and a fight breaks out. That's when you know you've arrived in baseball. I think a fight today would be good for the Royals, right? Like that would really make them and show the rest of baseball that they are here and they're not to be messed with. Because once you go out there and you brawl with somebody, everybody's like, okay. I mean, we've all seen it growing up, right? You get into that big fight and somebody whoops your ass, you're like, all right, not going to mess with that guy anymore.
Right.
This is where the Royals are right now. If you're going to keep needling them and you're going to keep throwing at them and you're going to try to hit Bobby Witt Jr., a nice little knuckle sandwich to the face to knock your ass down, mm-hmm. would be something that the doctor probably ordered. And then nobody's going to mess with you anymore.
This stat comes from Rustin Dodd as it is a realization of what today is on this wonderful Wednesday, first place Wednesday. The Kansas City Royals, 75-58 and in first place. They need to finish 17-12 in their last 29 games to match the 1903. That's right, 1903. The Titanic wasn't even built yet. It was being built.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, for the biggest year-over-year improvement, that'd be a plus 36 in MLB history. No team has ever gone from 100 losses to a division crown, ever. Boy, you would love to see that. And also, mm-hmm. when you wake up this morning, you go to DraftKings or FanDuel, you will notice that the favorites to win the manager of the year is one Matt Quatrero.
Yeah, well,
Stephen Voidas.
The team is you know, collapsing. I mean, this is where the manager does come into play, right? Mm-hmm. You're a team like Cleveland right now. You had a 10-game lead over the Royals in June.
Right.
You're now tied with the Royals for first place and lose it because of the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. You're not manager of the year, but this is where the manager comes into play. How do you right this ship? You know, you got to start pushing the right buttons and trying to figure out a way to get your team back. It's not about the X's and O's. Mm. It's about managing the people right now. And this is a defeated team in Cleveland. And that's why it's important for the Royals to go kick them in the nuts today, because you don't want to let them back up off the turf. Like, you've got them down to the count. You know, you're getting ready to do a standing eight count. You don't want that guy to get back up. And if he gets back up at six or seven, give him an uppercut, drop him under the chin, and put him back down to the down on the mat. That's what the Royals need to do today. You do not want to give this Cleveland team a little bit of life. You do not want to give this team the ability to say, look, we got beat 3 out of 4, but we salvaged that last game. We're back in sole possession of first place. You don't want to let them have that. Keep losing teams losing and get on them early. Score some early runs against Cleveland today, and they will go and hide like the dog team that they are right now.
Don't forget, visit Kansas City, Kansas Red Friday sports betting t-shirt giveaway this Friday afternoon with your boy, Dusty Likens, myself. I'll be at Tanner's Bar and Grill at 39th and Rainbow in KCK. Stop by between 3 and 5 to enjoy drink specials and get entered to win a pair of K-State football tickets. We will draw those tickets at 5 p.m. The winner will be announced. You'll want to hurry, though, because quantities are limited. KCK is always the better bet. Bet in KCK.com. Some things stay the same. Some things to change. We'll discuss what that means here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
I'll tell you what, man. My friend Brian Manning has got this thing figured out when it comes to being the best roofer in Kansas City. In fact, they're more than a roofer over at Manning Roofing. They're a true general contractor, so they can do it all. It is a one-stop shop for all of your needs. When that storm rolls through or it's time for the new roof on your house, you need to get in touch with my friends over at Manning Roofing. It's who we used 2 years ago when we needed a new roof, and they did an unbelievable job. And the reason I say it's a one-stop shop is because they are a true general contractor. They do windows, they do siding, they do roofs, they do gutters, they do it all, and it's a one-stop shop for all of your home repair needs. And I'll tell you what, you can really tell a lot about a company based on how long the employees have been there. Folks at Manning Roofing on the Cruise have been there at least 5 years. They're all in-house, and they all do an unbelievably amazing job. I love the fact that Manning Roofing is here to help everybody in Kansas City. You've got some issues with your roof? Call Manning Roofing. Maybe you're having some trouble with your insurance company right now, right? You're not dotting all the I's and crossing the T's. Manning can help you there as well. They're going to make sure that you get the job that you deserve on your house. They've never had a claim denied by insurance. So get in touch with them today and set up your free appointment at manninggc.com. That's manninggc.com. Or give them a call, 816-448-8208. 816-448-8208. Manning is my one-stop shop for roofs, gutters, siding, and windows. The choice is simple. It's Manning Roofing.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. I am Dusty Likens with Bob Fesco McMorrie, our executive producer. We'll be joined by Royals manager Matt Quatrero here in about 12 minutes. That guy that we just mentioned, Matt Quatrero, now plus 160 to win AL Manager of the Year. Stephen Voit, minus 240. Get your money while you can. That's at FanDuel right now. Get your money while you can. Go ahead. Have a little fun with Matty Q. I mean, you just heard the stat. Plus 36 win game turnaround. First ever since the 1903 Giants.
How many other teams, though, that were 100-loss teams did what the Royals did this offseason? There was a tweet from Ben Verlander that's floating around that I really like.
He Justin's goes, brother.
Yeah, it is. It is, right? Yeah, I think. Cousin, once removed, I don't know. But it's the extent of stop believing that your team is in rebuild mode. They're not in rebuild mode. They're cheap. And I've said that for years, right? That's always been my thing. Yeah, we're not in rebuild mode here. We're being cheap, right? And we've seen that a lot. He goes, look what the Royals did. They lost, 106 last year. They totally revamped this thing. And that's why people continue to go back to what they did last year. I don't buy into any of that because this isn't relevant to what they did last year. There's nobody around from last year. The Royals did what a lot of teams weren't willing to do, Dusty, and that's lose 100 games, gut the entire roster, spend money to surround their core group of players with some veterans, and move forward and win games. Like, there aren't a lot, like, there's the majority of baseball owners, from my experience, and I've talked to enough people in this game over the years, they're the Artie Morenos of the world that are happy going 81-81. Just give me 500, fill the stadium, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. They don't dare to be great. John Sherman actually dared to be great as the owner of this Royals franchise. And I know people were fighting John Sherman tooth and nail on everything that he wanted to do, and people didn't like John. If I'm John, I'm going to be like Toby Keith and go, how do you like me now? Right? Because John dared to be great, and he allowed JJ and gave JJ the resources to go out there and be great. Go sign veteran players. Go sign Bobby Witt Jr. Go out there and make moves at the trade deadline. Ownership allowed that to happen. So that's why I'm going to say, if you're John, he needs a shirt that says, how do you like me now? Because at the beginning of the season, there were a lot of folks who did not like John Sherman. He's just a billionaire trying to take our taxpayer dollars to build a stadium. No, he actually invests that money back into the ball club. And so if a stadium vote ever comes again, you can't walk around and go, he doesn't put any money in the club. John's poured money into this club right now. And look what it's done. Most owners would not have allowed their general manager after 106 loss season to go out there and just gut the entire roster and start over from scratch. John allowed that to happen. And look where we are right now, man. Look where we are. It's awesome.
Playoff baseball, baby. We'll get into our interview with Matt Cotrero here in about 10 minutes. But before we do that, there was a couple of football things that were, confusing, but also not. The Washington Commanders in the news again. They want to change the naming rights of their stadium. The Northwest Federal Credit Union are announcing a new multi-year naming rights deal. The partnership includes exclusive Northwest branding across the stadium and is the team's jersey patch partner for off-season and in-season practices. Northwest Stadium. That's what they're going to call it.
They're going to call it Northwest Stadium. They're not going to call it. It's in the east.
Northwest Stadium.
That's terrible.
Yep. And but look so forward to creating incredible memories together on the field and communities we serve.
Yeah. Okay.
I always worry about Washington because they have a really good chance to be someone of a decent team with the quarterback they have this year.
We'll see. Yeah.
I really think Daniels can be a good quarterback. I think he's got the skill set. I think he could take the league by surprise. Gives me a little bit of CJ Stroud vibes. He's got Scary Terry on the outside. He's got Brian Robinson is going to get the majority of the carries.
And he's got a Super Bowl head coach.
And they brought in a veteran in Austin Eckler in the backfield. A lot of people can roll their eyes back. Dusty, chill. Calm down. I'm just saying. I'm getting into the fantasy mode. I'm starting to look at rosters. I'm starting to look at what can be successful. I'm already at ADP right now. I can't trust Washington enough to where I can think I could take Jaden Daniels.
No,
Jalen Daniels.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't.
Heisman Trophy.
Like anything Washington selling.
The other thing that came out is that the NFL decided to say they're going to stick with the chain gang.
I love it.
Chain gang.
Let's go.
Keep this thing.
Let's go.
So you guys come up with a question. What is one thing you never want to see taken from sports?
Right. I never want to see the chain gang removed from sports.
Why?
I love it. Just because it's nostalgia. I like it. What's it matter if like three overweight guys are running out of chain?
It matters because there was a first down they got wrong in the Super Bowl for the Chiefs last year.
And
the biggest game, not in the biggest game of the year.
It doesn't need to happen. That's
they have a laser and money, multi-billion-dollar organization. Have a freaking laser across the field that tells you where the first down is. We at one point, Bob, we're not even that far removed. Where a referee used a damn index card to decide who's the first down.
Great, let's go. Insane. I love it, man.
You're insanely stupid.
It's like you probably use self-checkout and take jobs away from cashiers too, don't you? I refuse to use the self-checkout. I'm going through the cashier line.
I don't want people to know I'm buying condoms.
Who cares? What are you,
Nancy?
Nine?
Nancy, who's going to judge me when I put the extra
Nancy's
small?
Nancy's going to judge you? You should say, look, Nancy, hey, yeah, me. That's right. Yeah, that's like a proud moment. Why do people get embarrassed when they buy condoms?
Because yours don't say extra small in the box.
All right, that's true. Yeah. Condoms, Rose, condoms. If you get that reference,
that was a big deal in my life back in the day. You had to go to like the gas station, you got like a Mountain Dew and a pack of rubs, and it was like, just ignore that first one real quick.
Like, everybody was always embarrassed by that. Great. I'm more embarrassed by buying Preparation H.
I don't want you to know that I'm buying Hamburger Helper for a date night.
Well, there's that too.
Like, I'm going to disguise the box and say I made it from scratch and found it on Pinterest.
What are the least embarrassing things to buy? Are prophylactics. Like, if you're rolling in and you're buying athlete's foot spray, jock itch spray, hemorrhoid cream
is
tux,
rough. That's what's rough.
You know, diaper rash stuff. Like, that's embarrassing type of stuff. That's what you should be embarrassed by. Yeah, where's your hemorrhoid cream, please? Like, oh my God, you know, that's the embarrassing stuff. How did we get on this topic?
Just self checkout.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say is that, like, one thing I don't want to see go away is the coin toss. I know that sounds simplistic.
Coin toss is going away.
You never know. Nowadays, when you decide who gets the ball first in like friendly games, or like who gets to shoot first in beer pong, they have an app on your phone. Yeah. You just put your finger on there each, and then it says that person won.
Yeah, that would not be trustworthy in you know, for me in sports.
Neither is a chain gang.
Yeah.
I want that quarter to be flipped in the air every time.
Okay.
Heads or tails. There's no deciding factor easier than that to say, you choose, heads or tails. Plus,
but the referee could flip it, you know.
You have to flip it in the air. But as simplistic as a coin toss is, it still gives people fits even in the Super Bowl, because a coin toss can still mess with somebody's mind to cost them a Super Bowl, and it did that last year.
Well, yeah, I just
think I'm biased.
So you want the coin toss to stay. I want the chain gang to stay. What do you never? I also, here's the other thing that I never want to see out of sports. The AFC-NFC championship game moved to a neutral site. Like, that was a really bad idea that we were starting to go down.
The Mahomes rule.
Yeah, like, that idea sucks. So I hope the NFL forgot about that idea, but I never want to see the AFC and NFC championship games move.
Yeah, that idea totally blows. Mine's kind of in the same vein of, like, keep home field advantage. Like, let's keep snow games. Let's keep open air stadiums. We don't all have to have domes. I know, but I want to have, I want to, that playoff game last year, I know it was negative 20 degrees, but like those moments are really cool in football. Having snow games, having guys trudge through and make it a 10-7 game. I want that. Yeah. That's going to be gone before we know it, but I love them.
Keep the coin flip, keep the snow games, and according to Bob, keep the chain gang.
That's right.
Chain gang till he dies. That's what you need to do. You need to get a shirt that says, I'm in a gang. It's called the chain gang.
I'd love to be on the chain gang.
I was going to say, let's get Bob in the chain gang.
How cool a job would that be?
The hell with running as a hot dog.
Yeah.
How do we not get the preseason? You're on the chain gang.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Oh, you would take it. So would you be like those British guards where you don't break character? Just
No. I'd get lost with what's going on the sidelines. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I don't like that place.
Come on,
though. That place sucks.
There you go.
What are you doing?
Speaking of what doesn't suck, future.
I dumped the Gatorade on myself.
Future manager of the year of the American League, Matt Cotrero. He joins this show next on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for sports, Kansas City.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.